So, good afternoon. Thank you very much, Elke, for the presentation. Thank you very much, Tom and Filippo, for inviting me to this project. Since 2016 that we've been working together, with Filippo much more time. So, as the title of my presentation says, already announces, I will center my presentation on militant education, pilot schools, and jungle schools in Guinea-Bissau between 1963 and 1974, a project led by the African Party for Independence of Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde, most known as PAIGC in Portuguese, PAIGC in English. And it was a party founded in Guinea-Bissau by the African anti-colonialists from Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde. Amilcar Lopes Cabral, the charismatic leader of the liberation movement, is the most known and studied person of the PAIGC liberation struggle. My aim here is not to focus on the work of Cabral, of Amilcar Lopes as an individual, as the agronomist, and as an intellectual thinker, but to focus on the surname Cabral, that in my way of seeing a militant history, interpreting history, represents a collective work that was a liberation struggle in Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde. I'll focus also my presentation and the talk with Filippo Cesar on this very specific and crucial element of the liberation struggle, the PAIGC radical pedagogical project developed in praxis throughout the entire course of the liberation struggle for independence and liberation against the Portuguese colonial government. I will talk about PAIGC militant education and the schools that created in the Republic of Guinea, in Conakry, and also in Senegal that they call the pilot schools, but also on the jungle schools that was created and developed throughout the liberation struggle in the jungles of Guinea-Bissau. So the jungle and the liberation struggle. This was the schools of PAIGC were so-called a very unconventional school structures developed by the PAIGC in the deep forests of Guinea-Bissau, where schools shared the same space with the PAIGC guerrilla and the Portuguese military. In his well-known text from Amilcar Cabral, National Liberation National Liberation and Culture, Cabral describes the importance of the jungle or the forest as a place where culture was preserved and protected. In the text, Cabral reveals the importance of the jungle and the forest in the following way, and I quote, "The colonial kingdom was established with all the crimes and exploitation which characterizes it. But cultural resistance of African people was not destroyed, repressed, persecuted, betrayed by some social groups who were in the legal of colonialists. African culture survived all storms, taking refuge in the villages, in the forest, and in the spirit of the generations who were the victims of colonialism." End of quote. Second quote, "The universal values of African culture is now an inconceivable fact. Nevertheless, it should not be forgotten that African men, whose hands, as the poet said, placed the stones on the foundations of the world, has developed his culture frequently, if not constantly, in adverse conditions, from deserts, from equatorial forests, from coastal marshes, to banks of great rivers subject to frequent flooding in spite of all sorts of difficulties. In this way, the forest," end of quote, sorry. "In this way, the forest became the symbol and protector of the resistance, as well the place where culture was not only protected, but it was also produced." Such was the importance of the forest that in the PAIGC school manuals produced between 1963 and 1974, there is a text called "The Forest, Our Friend." The text that I'm about to present is a text from the third grade school that says, "Not so long ago, Not so long ago, you were the mysterious forest to our people, and our people were afraid of you. The struggle came, and although feared you, you offered our people a natural shelter against the bombs. The people learned how to overcome the terrible fear that they had of you. The people learned to love you. Forest friend, forest our ally. The day will come based on our study, based on our work, and we will discover all your secrets, and you will not be mysterious anymore. Our people will look at you in a different way with the new eyes that the struggle gave them. In this text, and the highlights are mine, the demystification of the forest appears as a natural shelter, the forest as a place of learning and struggle, the forest as a friend and an ally, and the new way of seeing the forest that can also be understood as a metaphor of a way of seeing the life and the world provided by the struggle are some of the essential elements of what the PIGC project on militant education spoke about. I don't want to give here a full definition of militant education that you can find on the book that Elke already presented. I have a copy here to show. This one. Instead, I would like to give you a quote from an interview that I made in 2013 with Maria da Luz Boal, who was a teacher and director of the school, of the pilot school, where she says, and I quote, Some students were orphans. Other, the parents were in the war front, and it was difficult because sometimes one comrade would arrive with his backpack and say, I'm going to the country interior. He goes, but he does not return. And constantly, we received news that the comrade went and stayed, which means he died. And so there was this environment of living the struggle and the will to be free. It was strong that those kids would draw airplanes, rifles, bombings. That was their world. We were politicians, as teachers, she mentions. We were politicians in that situation, and it was difficult not to be. A child who comes from the liberated areas, who hear the bombings, who have to explain why there were bombings and about colonialism that he didn't see, but that he was feeling it. You had to explain why the people decide to fight to be free from colonial oppression. Politics was so evident that they had to understand. End of quote. So the highlights are mine, and militant education. If you take in consideration, like, where the place that took place, it was a living struggle, and colonialism was very present. So, on the school books, school manuals of PIGC, we can have the main terms, or some of the terms that we can find, are colonialism, oppression, exploitation, imperialism, internationalism, solidarity, anti-colonialism, mobilization. These are themes that are explored. Today we will think like this will be for students on the sixth, seventh grade, but students from the first, second grade was already from the first grade already introduced to these thematics. So some of these key lessons of PIGC were taught in the terms of praxis, what they are seeing, what they are experiencing at the moment. So somehow PIGC developed education in relation between the actual past and the present, and a view and a vision toward the future. And now, from the concepts to spaces, I would like to talk about the PIGC militant education and the schools that it created. And once I had during my research this question of how do we imagine these places, where they were located, how do we imagine these structures? And talking about the location and construction of the schools in the jungle, there were some aspects that was needed to have in consideration. One, it has to be located near the villages, schools, and placed in a relative safely due to the war situation. It should not be far from a water source and relatively accessible by the by a bush path, which motorized vehicles could access. The school should the school structure was not permanent due to the war circumstances that forces them to have to have a kind of a sort itinerant life and structure. It was built with materials easy to transport in order to rebuild to be rebuilt in another region. Main of materials was tree leaves, tree trunks, and branches. The forest environment provided the natural protection for the school, reconnaissance from the aircrafts, and protect from the bombings. The forest and material that provided as well the characteristics of the liberation struggle dictated this architecture and the conditions of this school. In the picture that I'm about to show, we can see how some of these structures were built during the liberation struggle. So here we have an image of the construction of some of these structures, as I already mentioned. So imagine such a structure in the middle of the jungle, as well as imagine the school space. When hearing the descriptions, it was also difficult for me to imagine how was this school space designed, especially when it's in the middle of the forest. So during my research, I was able to draw with the PIJC Freedom Fighters the first plans of these educational structures I'm about to show. So this first one is a school in the jungle. So we have, it's called Internato Aurelino Lopes Cruz. This boarding school was located in the south part of Guinea-Bissau, and throughout 1966 and 1974, it changed place about 10 times, and one of the times it was located briefly in the territory of Guinea-Conakry. The second plant is the main plant of PIJC school, Escola Piloto, located in Ratoma in Guinea-Conakry, and these are the first drafts because you cannot find this kind of material in any archive. And they were drawn by teachers and students at the same time, or sometimes drawn by one and then complemented by others. And the third school is called Teranga, which means friendship, and this one was located in Senegal, in Zengi Shore. So we have three drafts, three draws of these schools, two made by hand and the other one made on a computer setting. And this was because while I was interviewing them, it's like, no, we can do it better. So they decided to do a first draft and then pass through the computer because it was like, it's a professional work, so we have to present it correctly or in a proper way. So they were proud of the work that, for the first time, to draw the space of the school that they study. So talking about the schools is also important to understand how one remembers these places. So, and I quote one of the interviews that I've done with Marcelino Mutna in Guinea-Bissau in 2014, where he says, and I quote, "We study in the mud, when the water came up," referring to a little bit above the knee, above the ankle, "we would stay there until we finished the lesson. Then we would go down and walk all through the water to go home. We leave it and studied in the mangrove fields for 4 years between 1966 and 1969. It was our refugee against the bombings." And during this interview, he and another colleague of him, Marcelino Mutna, draw the first plant or the first draw how the school was located. So we have on the first part the what they call the terrace, the plateau, and then we have a terrace, and then the last part of the image is the mangrove, and that was where they studied. And Filipa is going to explain or show some images for us to have a more clear idea of how these places looked like. And it's also important to imagine how one goes to school during these times. So in a quote from Lassana Sidi, a student from the PGC in the liberated areas who studied in the school jungles, he described remembered his school in this way. In that way, there were no tables. We were in the forest. You would search for trees, cut the branches, and some palm trees, and we would make tables out of them on the open spaces of the forest. The blackboard would be hung in a tree, and in this way, the teacher would give the classes. In the beginning, there were no school materials. When we were learning A, B, C, D, a normal pencil was to cut in two, sometimes even three, according to the number of students. During that time, we would search for paper or even passport. On these passports, the teacher would write the alphabet and would repeat and copy. Following, I have a picture provided by Lars Rudbeck from Sweden, who visited the schools in the liberated areas, where we have a group of students going to school. And we can see how hided in the forest they would be, because there is only this path, and then we have all this green around them. The book that some of them might be holding in their hands, I have a copy here, was one of the first, this is an original one, was one of the first, school book created by the design and created by the PAGC. And I can show around if somebody is interested in seeing it. I just hope that it returns to my hands. And lastly, but not the least, in conclusion, and because my time might be almost end, and I want to have a conversation with Filipa about all this topic, I can only say that the PAGC Militant Education project was a radical pedagogical project that had its contradictions, its flaws, but whose aim was in the praxis to reinvent and develop a decolonial and an anti-colonial education in an educational setting far away of our imaginary and memories of what we have in mind what a school should look like. And also an education project that required a great dose of experimentation and conversations and deconstructions, and above all, courage and a futuristic vision and imagination. To close my presentation and to continue then the conversation with Filipa, I have here one of the images of the schools in the jungle that were provided by Lars Rudbeck from Sweden, where you have the structure, you have the forest, you have you can see a little bit of the classroom display, and you can see the guards. Guards were very important in the school setting. They were there to protect the students from any kind of invasion, so students could concentrate in the class. Sometimes during in the school jungles, you could see next to the school anti-air bombing. How do you call a place to hide was shelter. There was they had shelters built around the school in case of bombing, so students could just run and hide it there in order to protect themselves. So thank you very much.